Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter, Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Coming up on the show, we hear the health and lifestyle report. Winter is coming to the northern part of the world. Jill Robbins tells about how to keep your tropical plants healthy in the cold months and enjoy them year-round. Andrew Smith has a story out of South Korea, where a research team has developed a new kind of wheel that can climb over barriers. And we close the show with the lesson of the day. But first, here's Brian Lynn with a report about new findings from scientists studying the Hawaiian volcano Mauna Loa.
Scientists say they were able to identify signs that Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano might erupt about 2 months before it exploded. A new study explains the signs they discovered and how their method might be used to predict future eruptions. Mauna Loa is the world's largest active volcano. The volcano's most recent eruption began in November 2022. In the weeks before the eruption, scientists identified or detected small earthquakes nearby. They also recognized other signs of volcanic activity and were able to warn people on the island of Hawaii. Now, examinations of lava from the volcano have confirmed when melted rock underground started to move. Kendra Lin is a research geologist at the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory who helped lead the research. She also co-wrote the study, which recently appeared in the publication Nature Communications. Lin told the Associated Press that ground expansion and increased earthquake activity near the volcano resulted from melted magma rising from lower levels of Earth's crust. This movement of liquefied rock filled openings beneath the volcano. When the underground pressure got high enough, the magma broke through hard surface rock and became lava. Later, the researchers collected pieces of the volcanic rock. The team studied the chemistry of certain crystals within the lava to estimate when major movements began. It found that around 70 days before Mauna Loa's eruption, large amounts of melted rock had moved from 3 to 5 kilometers underground to just 2 kilometers beneath the surface. The researchers said this movement matched the timeline the geologists had observed with other signs. Before 2022, the last time Mauna Loa erupted was in 1984. Most of the U.S. volcanoes scientists consider to be active are found in Hawaii, Alaska, and near the West Coast. Worldwide, about 585 volcanoes are considered active. Volcanoes are tricky because we don't get to watch directly what's happening inside. We have to look for other signs, said Eric Clemente Gonzalez. He is a volcano expert at Denison University in Ohio who was not involved in the study. Ben Andrews heads a volcano program for the U.S. government's Smithsonian Institution. He also was not involved in the study. Andrews told the AP that scientists are still not able to fully predict volcanic eruptions. But he said they can issue a forecast based on observations and data. Andrews compared volcano forecasts to weather forecasts, which are based on the probability that an event might happen. Experts say better data about past volcanic behavior can help researchers produce more detailed forecasts of future activity. Clemente Gonzalez added, "We can look for similar patterns in the future and expect that there's a higher probability of conditions for an eruption happening." I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Imagine a wheelchair equipped with wheels flexible enough to move over all kinds of barriers, including the raised edges of streets. A robotic delivery vehicle could use the same wheels to go up stairs to deliver food or other purchases. This is what researchers from the Korea Institute of Machinery and Materials, or KIMM, see as the future for their morphing wheel. The wheels can change their shape and can roll over barriers up to 1.3 times their radius. The radius of a wheel is half its height. Other possible applications for the morphing wheel include robots that gather information about an enemy in the battlefield. The KIMM team also hopes that morphing wheels will one day be used with two- and four-legged robots. Now, the movement of those machines is limited. Too much shaking is also a problem. With the morphing wheels, the robots could carry objects that need smooth movement for industrial use. Song Hyuk is the lead researcher at South Korea's KIMM and a member of the AI robotics research team. He said the goal is to make the wheels work at the average speed of a car. That is about 100 kilometers per hour. Wheels developed for a similar purpose, such as airless wheels, have flexibility, but are limited in their ability to overcome barriers, said Song. The difference between airless wheels and the morphing wheel is that airless wheels are always soft, but the morphing wheels can change from hard to soft when they meet a barrier. They can then return to being hard to permit faster travel where there are no barriers. The morphing wheel is made of an outer circle of chain and a series of wires running through its central hub. A sensor controls the stiffness of the wires in reaction to the barriers in its path. Song's team demonstrated to Reuters a model of a wheelchair riding on morphing wheels as it climbed stairs with 18-centimeter steps. The team has also tested a device using the wheel at speeds of up to 30 kilometers an hour. I'm Andrew Smith.
Are you dreaming of a vacation to a warm place next to the sea? You may be thinking of sitting under a palm tree or next to a banana plant. Or you may dream of walking on a faraway island in the tropics, surrounded by colorful flowers such as birds of paradise and cannas. Tropical plants make us feel like we are in warm places with a pleasing climate. In cold climates, these plants can grow outside during the summer, but they suffer in cold weather. The gardening expert for the Associated Press, Jessica Damiano, says most people in the United States have to treat tropical plants like annuals because they do not survive cold winters. An annual plant is one that dies after one growing season. Following her guidelines, you will find out how to save both tropical plants and money. You also can make future summers at home feel like an exotic getaway. If you bought potted elephant ear plants, also called colocasia, cannas, or caladiums, bring the pots inside instead of putting them into the waste collection. Place them near a sunny window, water often, and fertilize as directed with ordinary houseplant fertilizer at half strength. If the plants are too big for the house or have been planted in the garden, leave them outdoors until the first frost turns their leaves brown. Then, cut the plants down to 15 centimeters tall and dig them up. Rinse and separate their roots, which might have small, rounded parts, and let them dry completely. Then prepare a box with some air holes and peat moss to store the roots. Place the box or container in a cool, dark place. Examine them once a month, adding water if they seem to be drying out, and throw out any rotten pieces. Plant outdoors and fertilize when the soil has warmed up to 16 degrees Celsius in spring. You also can start them indoors in potting mix 1 month earlier. Set them by your sunniest window or under grow lights, keeping the soil a little wet. Gardeners should also bring potted hibiscus and angel trumpets, also known as brugmansia, indoors before the first frost. Treat them as houseplants by placing them next to a sunny window during winter. These plants may lose their leaves, but they will come back in the spring. If there is no room for the plants in your living space, you can help them get through the winter by storing pots at 6 to 7 degrees Celsius. Examine them twice a month and water them very lightly when the soil feels dry at finger depth. Before moving them outdoors, place the plants in a warm, sunny spot. Lightly prune them, water, and fertilize the plants about 1 month before it is safe to move them back outdoors. Potted banana plants should be cut down to soil level when the first frost browns their leaves. Store the containers in a dark place at roughly 6 to 7 degrees Celsius. Look at the soil monthly, watering very lightly only when completely dry. Growth will begin again in spring, but keep the plants indoors until the danger of frost has passed. Fertilize and resume regular watering. Do not cut back bananas that are growing in the ground in the fall. Just dig them up and contain their roots in a plastic waste bag. Store them as you would a potted banana plant. Cut them down to 15 centimeters in spring and plant them in the garden after the danger of frost has passed. Then put the money you would have spent on new plants toward a water container, a fire pit, or tropical fruit juice. You can then sit back and enjoy your tropical backyard oasis. I'm Jill Robbins.
You just heard the Health and Lifestyle Report from Jill Robbins. Jill joins me now for a chat about her report. Hi, Jill. What do you think the most important gardening words are for this story?
Thanks, Katie. Let's start with two opposites, annual and perennial. An annual plant is one that usually dies at the end of the summer. It drops seeds that come up the following year.
I think I know some flowers that are annuals. For instance, zinnias and petunias.
Right, those are annuals. With zinnias, you can easily collect the seeds and plant them in the spring. We use the word annual to talk about something that happens each year, like we have an annual parade in D.C. for July 4th.
And what is the opposite of annual in plant terms?
It's perennial. That is a plant that you don't have to replant because the roots or bulbs, which are underground, produce a new plant in the spring.
Oh, like roses. They produce flowers every summer.
Exactly. But roses need to be pruned or cut to keep them in good health. Do you prune your roses?
My husband cuts off the dead branches or the ones that stick out into our walking path. Any other important words from this report?
The story tells about some plants we need to protect from frost. That's the time when it's so cold that leaves freeze.
Oh, I know about frost. Some of the plants look pretty sad after a frost.
If they are tropical plants, you can still bring them inside, and then they will grow as annuals. They will come up next summer.
Well, that's great. Thanks for the gardening advice and word expertise. And thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Katie.
My name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to the Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Today's lesson helps you do more with Level 2 of our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Lesson 6 of Level 2 helps explain some ways we use prepositions in English. Let's listen to the beginning of the lesson. Anna has agreed to take her friend Penelope on a tour around the city.
Anna, thanks for taking me on a tour of D.C. today.
Sure thing, Penelope. You are new to town, and a tour is the best way to see more of the city.
So, which tour are we taking? The one that goes through the city on a bus, or the one that goes along the river in a boat?
Both?
What? Anna, this isn't going to be one of those trips, is it?
No. Follow me.
Okay.
In this lesson, you are going to hear lots of prepositions. What's a preposition, you ask? It's a word that shows relationships between things. Anna says they are going on a tour through the city and along the river. Through and along are both prepositions. Watch for more.
It is often difficult for English learners to use prepositions correctly in all situations. That's because there are so many ways we can use them. Like Professor Bott says, we use prepositions to show physical relationships. But we also use them in many kinds of idiomatic expressions and phrasal verbs, and it's sometimes hard to know any rules for which preposition to use.
The good news is that mistakes with prepositions usually do not create problems for understanding what you want to communicate. Unless, of course, you make a very basic mistake with a physical description.
Right, that's true. So, if you say, under the table, when you should say, on the table, that will, of course, create problems. That's a very basic beginning-level mistake.
But remember, we can learn from our mistakes, so keep on speaking English when you get the chance to. Lesson 6 uses prepositions mostly for physical descriptions. Let's listen to Anna and Penelope take a ride in a special vehicle, that is, a boat with wheels that takes tourists around the city to see famous places in Washington, D.C.
Well, Penelope, there's our ride! What is it?
It's the famous DC Ducks, the boat with wheels. We will ride on the road and then sail on the water.
Who thinks of these things?
I don't know, but I'm glad they do. Let's get aboard, sailor.
Hey, did you know that this bus, boat, was created during World War II to carry people and supplies?
Wow. You know, a tour is so much more interesting with fun facts, like that one.
I agree. I love fun facts.
To get aboard means to get on a boat or a train. Now, here's more of their tour on the boat with wheels.
This is amazing, Anna. There are so many beautiful buildings along this road.
Hey, the Washington Monument is on the left.
Look, Anna, we're across from the White House.
Penelope, the only thing between us and the president is the street and a park and a security gate and police officers with guns.
Excuse me. Do you want to know a fun fact about the White House?
Yes!
Inside the White House, there is a swimming pool, a movie theater, and 32 bathrooms.
32 bathrooms? That's a lot of bathrooms.
I'd be happy with 2. I live in a house with my mom, 4 sisters, 2 aunts, and only 1 bathroom.
Oh, my. You know, Anna, we should give him a tip.
Of course. It is polite to tip your tour guide. Luckily, I have lots of dollar bills.
That was a great fun fact. Here you go.
Thank you. I can tell you fun facts all day.
Did you hear any more prepositions of place? I heard between us and the president. Inside the White House, and in a house.
Now let's look at a few examples to see how prepositions can have more than one meaning and how they can show more complex relationships.
Let's start with the preposition through. Anna and Penelope go on a tour through the city. That's a physical place. But we can also go through an experience or through a process that happens over a period of time. We can go through a change or through changes.
For example, teenagers go through a lot of changes between the ages of 13 and 18.
Yes, they sure do. Now, let's look at the preposition for. We can say we are going home for the holidays. This can mean a period of time during the holidays. Or it can mean the reason why we are doing something.
Right. Like I can say, I exercise for my health. That means I exercise to help my health.
We also use for to express a connection or relationship. We might say,
the students need to buy books for each subject they are studying.
In that example, the preposition for connects the phrase buy books with the words each subject.
Jill, what is your best advice for how students can learn to use prepositions correctly?
Because we use them so much and in so many different ways, I suggest learners pay careful attention and memorize the preposition that is used when they learn new expressions. For example, as we just explained, we can say the expression go through a process. A learner should memorize the whole expression.
And that way, the learner does not have to worry about how to choose or guess which preposition to use.
It does take a long time to learn the large number of expressions and their prepositions. So students need to be patient, and you need to practice using the expressions until you can say them naturally and easily. I also recommend reading a lot in English. Pick a book that is on a topic you like and read it for fun. The grammar of English will become more familiar to you the more you read.
Jill, before we go, we need to find out if the boat with wheels can also go in the water.
Well, to do that, we have to watch and listen to the next lesson, Lesson 7 of Level 2. That lesson gives many more examples of prepositions for physical places. We don't have time to listen to Lesson 7 in today's podcast, but here's one little part of it.
Penelope, this is amazing. A minute ago, we were riding along the river, and now we're riding in the river. Awesome.
So be sure to watch Lessons 6 and 7 to see all the places Anna and Penelope visit on the boat with wheels.
And you will also learn about a boy who makes money on their tour. The boy makes the money thanks to Anna and Penelope.
Well, we've made it through another lesson of the day. Thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast.
Remember to share Let's Learn English with your family and friends. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
That's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.